Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to be here for an early edition of the Weekly Worldview because we are just anticipating technical difficulties is what it is. We're just anticipating that there will be technical difficulties. So we wanted to get the show done a little bit early. Actually, it's a chicken coop situation, and it's not my fault because by the way, welcome to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I thought I had this whole thing worked out. I worked on the chicken run last week. Yeoman's work, by the way, to get the chicken run in. For those of you who live in the suburbs, a chicken run is designed to keep coyotes and hawks off your chicks, you see. It's a massive and fenced enclosure with, it's quite the undertaking, let me tell you that. So I get that finished, and I may have mentioned it last week. I thought I had made it clear to my extremely attractive audio engineer that I would spring to buy some chicken coops because having spent my life avoiding manual labor as best I could, I had had enough of it. And I said, I'm willing to go out and work my regular job more so we could just buy the chicken coops and get it over with. And she agreed. That was last week. She agreed. The week goes by. I asked her a couple times, have you bought those coops yet? No. No. Then I find out there's a problem with the coops, that they're not up to the standards of the McBurney compound, apparently. There's not a chicken coop manufacturer in the world that can satisfy my extremely attractive audio engineer. They're all cheap Chinese garbage, I guess. Anyway, stapled together with formaldehyde. You like the Amish?
The Amish one.
Yeah? Well, why can't we get an Amish one? Well, I told you, I'll work harder. I don't want to build a chicken coop. Anyway, so I thought we had it worked out, but apparently not, because I built the floor of the chicken coop today. Built the floor. And so once you build the floor, well, you're pretty much committed. So there you go. So I'm not going to have time to do anything over this weekend while we've got nice weather, because I somehow have been conned into building this chicken coop. And, it was a buy-or-build type situation, and I was set to buy, but she was set to build. And so we're building. And, if you want eggs, we're going to have eggs on sale. We'll have eggs for sale by the spring. Well, by the early summer, anyways. We'll have a rooster here, too, to try and annoy our neighbor. Get back at him for all of his dirt bikes, for crying out loud. Yeah. Anyway, but we love our neighbor, don't get me wrong. But the diesel fumes and the dirt bike can be a little much from time to time. But anyway, we're doing well, and I wanted to just get right on with the show. And as we were ready to go to air, I remembered that there was another mass shooting that I should at least allude to, just to be civil and polite. Because, you know, if someone massacred half my family, I would want it to be mentioned on every media broadcast. So I just want to be civil and polite and mention, I look it up, mass shooting, and I see that there's one in Kansas, right? There's one in Kansas. That's the one I heard about. So I thought, well, wait a minute, is that the same mass shooting that I talked about at the beginning of last week's show, or was that a different mass shooting? I remember it seemed like it happened in a place where you would never expect it could happen. And I jumped online and went to, and I found a website called gunviolencearchive.org/report/mass shootings. They track every mass shooting. So if more than four people are shot, they consider it a mass shooting and they make a list. And to my surprise, the shooting in Kansas was not the latest mass shooting that I had talked about at the beginning of last week's show. That shooting had occurred in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Six people killed, two injured. No apparent motive other than some loser wanted to go shoot people, as far as we can tell. Well, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's been 8 mass shootings since Kalamazoo on February 20th. And the one in Kansas has already been eclipsed by another in Belfair, Washington on the 26th. Kansas was the 25th. I happen to have been driving across Nebraska when I hear about there's a shooting in Kansas. It was horrible. Just horrible. And then the day before that, or a couple days before, well, I can look at my list. A couple days before, Glendale, Arizona, another patriarchal detonation where a father slaughters his whole family and then himself. And this one in Washington, well, I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly all of the details, but everybody died. Five dead bodies in the latest. And by the time you download this entire broadcast, there will probably have been another one, maybe even more horrific than the last. So a talk show host could spend every day reporting just on the murder, mayhem, and bloodshed. But we're going to do some other stuff because, well, that gets depressing after a while. But we want the folks in, well, let's just go since Kalamazoo. We want the folks in Kalamazoo, Tampa, Bessemer, Alabama, Houston, Hazelwood, Missouri, Daytona Beach, Glendale, Arizona, Heston, Kansas, and Belfair, Washington. We want you to know that our prayers are with you. And our prayer for the proctocracy that has permitted such bloodshed and violence in the streets, our prayer is that their office would be taken from them and given to another more worthy, and that someone qualified to administer justice would come upon the scene. Someone beside me. I mean, I know I'm qualified, but I've got other things to, I've got a family to raise. I've got obligations. We need a young Christian homeschooled man to step forward and help save America from herself. I'm putting out the call right now because I watched the debate with the Republicans. If you've read the Bible, you know Jesus didn't like the publicans. Well, I don't like the Republicans. And me and Jesus, we're tight. We're tight. Me and the Lord, we walk together. And we don't like the publicans. And I don't like the Republicans. So I didn't see that person on that debate stage whenever it was, a few days ago. I didn't see, there was a lawyer from Texas I never heard of. There was a neurosurgeon who was asleep. There was a used car salesman from Ohio, right? There was a shoeshine boy from Miami. And then there was a loudmouth egomaniac who I've known for 40 years as a running joke, who very well may be the next president. And so there you have it. That's how we start off. Bloodshed, mayhem, and no one qualified to help. But on another note, Hillary Clinton appears to be coasting toward the Democratic nomination, having annihilated Bernie Sanders in the latest Democrat primary. She annihilated him. Just, it was embarrassing for Bernie. Yeah, it was. He had to get new false teeth. He was so embarrassed. And the mice were hunchbacked. I don't know. It's a stream of consciousness type thing. All right. But let's go. Speaking of Hillary, let's go to the wacko cuckoo bird religion file. You've heard of our bad religion file. You've heard from our sad religion file. This is the wacko cuckoo bird religion file. Hillary Clinton appeared at a gospel awards show last weekend. Yes, gospel music. That's music about the Lord. That's music about the living God, praising God and Jesus. And Hillary was there. And nobody threw her out. And somebody saw fit to let her get up on stage, and she began reciting a portion of that fine old gospel hymn, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. I think we have tape of Hillary, right? We've got that? Let that roll. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching me. That was from that fine old gospel hymn. Yeah. That was Hillary Clinton at the Gospel Awards show. She says this, it's all about the gospel and all that it means to so many of us. A lot of people need to hear that message. And you, here at the Gospel Awards, are helping to deliver it, said Hillary. And after the event, she was interviewed by someone, not arrested, not thrown off the stage in a barrage of rotten fruit, but she was interviewed and she said she is a person of faith. I am a person of faith, and I ain't no ways getting tired over here. Unbelievable. Hillary Clinton showing her face, that shows you the state of gospel music in America these days. That this Herodian abortionist lesbian freak would be allowed to show her face at any type of public gathering that had anything at all to do with anything to do with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is shameful. So there. And that's how I feel about that. Now we'll move on, because we'll go into the domestic tranquility file, where I'm sad to report that a leader of the Occupy Denver movement, I said Occupy Denver, you remember these punks? You know, the unshaven, pale, pudgy losers smoking pot in Civic Center Park 2-3 summers ago? You wonder where they all went. Well, one of their leaders is a 58-year-old loser whose name I will not mention. But the Breitbart reports that this particular leader of the Occupy Denver movement spoke out against corporate welfare, big banks, the cost of higher education, and supported expanding public transportation because he was a slack-jawed loser who could only afford to get around on the bus. Not that I have anything against people getting around on the bus. I just don't do it myself, ever. I don't think I've ridden a bus since I was in 12th grade. That's the last time I rode a bus, and that's the last time I'll ever ride a bus. No, I did ride a bus in Japan, but that's a little different. See, in Japan, there's normal people on the bus. In Denver, forget about it. I did ride the bus in Korea, though, with sheep and chickens. Oh, yeah. They had, as a matter of fact, the bus driver helped a woman arrange her sheep so that they wouldn't fall off the bus, even though she was hanging outside of the bus. Wow, that just went through. I haven't thought about that since 1987. Vivid memory of the chickens and the sheep on, and the woman smiling the whole time at everybody, and nobody seemed to care. And riding the bus with her and her sheep and chickens was easily 7 or 8 orders of magnitude more civilized than riding the bus in any major metropolitan city in America. I'd much prefer the company of farm girls and goats and chickens, and in this case it was sheep and a rooster, as a matter of fact, and it was red. That reddish-orange, you know, that roosters have? Yeah. Wow. All right, so anyway, this loser is, he's all for public transportation. He's an adamant opponent of the death penalty. Says that the death penalty destroys our sense of community. People are treated like disposable commodities. It's deeply social and violent. The result of unconscionable thinking, says this loser. Now, this guy was being evicted from his house because, well, he's a loser. He doesn't pay his mortgage. And Let's see. Oh, before I get to his claim to fame, he said in an interview, I'm sorry, in a post on Facebook, this leader of the Occupy Denver movement said, cops rape and kill people. One cop repeatedly punched my face and knocked two of my teeth out. This was after aiming loaded pistols while screaming threats at me. And I may have provoked them, but then I had turned my back to go home, yada, yada, yada. So he hated the police. And he didn't pay his mortgage. And he's a loser and a pothead. And a few days ago, on the 25th of February, he murdered Park County Sheriff's Corporal Nate Kerrigan. Was murdered. Two other deputies wounded, one severely. Serving an eviction notice on one of the leaders of the Occupy Denver movement and a former senatorial candidate for the aforementioned, I don't know if it's the Occupy Denver Party or the Green Party or the Pot Green Party. They have a new Green Party out here now. I don't know. Anyway, this is when you, all you liberal fiends out there who annoy me on Facebook with your postings, you're always posting stuff about how great socialism is, and how horrible it is to have to pay your bills, what a terrible arrangement it is that someone loans you a whole bunch of money and now they want it back, and how they're somehow your slave master now. Get out of here with that. Pay your bills and grow up, you stupid punk. Ignorant, suicidal children. So the cops came to his house to serve the eviction notice, and he opened fire and started shooting the police. And fortunately, at least one of the police officers shot him to death. He is in hell right now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the Park County Sheriff's Department, and our prayers go out to the family of Corporal Nate Kerrigan.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I wanna be there, yeah, in my city. Oh, oh,
back. It's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for joining us. We go we were already in the wacko cuckoo bird religion. Now we go to straight up bad religion file. And for that, as usual, we go to Pope Francis. Yes, the communist pope has called for a worldwide ban on the death penalty during his year of mercy. Because the pope has decided to have mercy, he says there should be no death penalty, no executions for the year. He was, Pope Francis launched his appeal against the death penalty at an international conference entitled For a World Without the Death Penalty. The Pope's it was a symposium with a commitment to the abolition of capital punishment. And there he is. Modern societies, say the Pope, have the ability to deal with crime without permanently removing the chance for redemption from the one who has committed the crime. Excuse me, I thought you were the Pope. How does killing a bastard who murdered someone, how does that remove the chance for redemption, Pope? What a theologically shallow idiot the Pope is. Does he not understand he's refuting the foundation of his entire religious order when he calls for a ban on the death penalty? Perhaps the Pope doesn't understand that the Christian faith is based upon the death penalty. It started over an instance in which the death penalty was executed, in this case against an innocent man, Jesus Christ. But the death penalty itself, Mr. Pope, is nowhere in the Scripture spoken of in a derogatory manner, and nowhere is it repealed, by the way. But the Pope says, I appeal to all rulers for the abolition of the death penalty. Execute no death sentence during this holy year of mercy. Mercy me, mercy, says the Pope. He says he wants Christians everywhere to work toward better prison conditions. Now, nowhere in the Bible, Mr. Pope, if you've read it, nowhere in the Bible does God or the governments that God established and guided, nowhere do they authorize prison sentences, long prison terms. It's not in the Bible. Stupid Pope. Not just a bad Pope, a stupid Pope, an illiterate Pope. Well, not illiterate. I'm sure the guy can read. You know what it is? He can read it, but he doesn't understand it because he doesn't want to understand it. Better prison conditions. Yeah. The Catholic Church, according to this report from Breitbart, the Catholic Church once accepted the right of legitimate authority to have recourse to the death penalty. But beginning with Pope John Paul II, who everyone calls a saint, in fact, they've actually sainted him. The church progressively narrowed the conditions under which the death penalty could be applied until we get to where we are now, where they say there should be no death penalty, at which point somebody should say, Mr. Pope, I understand that you know how to read. Could you point out in the Bible where God condemns the death penalty? Anywhere. All right. The Pope also stated that because of steady improvements in the penal system, such cases for the death penalty are very rare, if not practically non-existent, he says. This is the Pope. All right. Let's see. Pope Francis, the communist, says, today the death penalty is inadmissible. Inadmissible, he says. The death penalty does not do justice to the victims, but encourages revenge, he says. Which shows he doesn't understand the death penalty. I mean, the death penalty is about soothing the desire for vengeance on behalf of the victim's family. Yes, it has something to do with that. But it does do justice to the victims, Pope. It bounces them right out of this reality into another reality, right into the hands of the living God, who the judge of all the earth, and he shall judge rightly. So to insist that the death penalty doesn't do justice indicates to me that the Pope doesn't know God. How's that? Is that shocking that the Pope doesn't know God? I don't think so. I don't think it's shocking at all. Pope doesn't know God. 95% of the pastors in evangelical churches don't know God. It's obvious from what they say. Who's the latest idiot to endorse Donald Trump? There's been a whole parade of evangelical bozo morons. I think it all started with Sarah Palin, the poster girl for bozo moron evangelicals. A friend of mine in the media, someone whose name you'd probably recognize, sent out an email to a number of us in the conservative media saying, doesn't Pastor Jeffress, that's the latest one, this pastor in Dallas, First Baptist in Dallas, I forget his first name. He says, doesn't Pastor Jeffress and Sarah Palin understand that conservatives will no longer take them seriously after their endorsement with Donald Trump? I wrote him back. I said, Jason, wasn't it obvious to everyone in 2008 that Sarah Palin was an idiot and an empty skirt? And this Jeffress bozo, he's a theological neophyte. Whoever took these people seriously in the first place? I hope nobody on that email chain did. Be embarrassing for the state of talk radio and the conservative media. All right, now let's see. Let's get off Let's get off the Pope and stop beating on the Pope, beating on Sarah Palin. Anyway, let's go to Chicago. Well, let's not go to Chicago. I mean, unless we have to. Homicides have doubled since the first of the year. Almost 100 homicides since the first of the year in Chicago compared to about 50 last year over the same time period. And the number of people shot has more than doubled. Almost, 420 this year compared to less than 200 last year. 32 people were shot in Chicago over last weekend. And here, we're barely halfway through this weekend. I wonder how many people were shot. 32 people in one weekend. Wow. Folks, the South Side of Chicago is not a free country. And it has not been a free country for a long time. This, in fact, what you're seeing in Chicago, Baltimore, other major metropolitan areas, the bloodshed every weekend, where young men are slaughtering one another and anyone who's around and who happens to be in the line of fire. This is what happens. This is life, where the just authority of the family and the government is abandoned. And I said the just authority of the family and the government. In that order, they've all been abandoned in favor of progressive ideas about wealth distribution and a justice system with no death penalty. That's right. Welfare and jail instead of a father in the home and a death penalty. You end up with the South Side of Chicago, which is where a majority of this happens. You know, despite what the Pope thinks, the death penalty can never be abolished. Nope. It can only be redirected by liberals and intensified upon the innocent. That's what happens when liberals like the communist Pope and all the abortionists and homosexualists who hold the same view, that the death penalty is somehow evil and bad. Despite the fact that they think they can put themselves in the place of God and abolish the death penalty, they cannot. They just get other innocent people killed. But don't worry, eventually, you're going to get themselves killed too. And then the judge of all the earth will judge rightly. And all these people who insisted that the death penalty should be abolished, well, they're all going to get it, number one. Each and every one of them is going to get the death penalty. And then they're going to face God, and they're going to have to try to explain themselves to him. And they're not going to want to, so they're going to shake a fist in the face of God on Judgment Day, at which point he's going to pull the lever and send them straight to hell with jet rockets. That's about enough of that. I think they've had enough. No? No, they haven't had enough. Just keep giving it to them. All right. Now we'll go to the World War III file. An article from the Daily Beast on how Barry lost the Mideast to Vladimir Putin. How could Obama lose? This is impossible. I used to work for KGB. Please. Yes. Serious five-year civil war, according to the author at the Daily Beast, has left almost 500,000 people dead. Syria has spiraled into the biggest humanitarian, political, and security challenge of our time, even though John Kerry announced a temporary ceasefire leading up to unbrokered peace talks. I meant UN brokered. Unbrokered peace talks. They should just call them broke peace talks. Scheduled for February 25th. Wait a minute. February 25th. What day is this? Oh, that's right. The deadline passed and the ceasefire didn't quite well. It didn't quite work out. This second one in 10 days for Carrie, that's got to be embarrassing. Go get another facelift, you moron. We need you recovering in a hospital from major surgery. The last thing we need with you, John Kerry, is for you to be negotiating anything against the likes of Vladimir Putin, for crying out loud. Well, he'll probably move into the White House at the end of the negotiations. You and Barry, you'd be living in a VW bus in the park there if you guys get to negotiating with Vladimir. The Saudis, meanwhile, so Syria's on fire. A million people internally displaced. It's unbelievable. The Saudis have threatened to send ground troops into Syria, as they already have in Bahrain and Yemen. Turkey is bombing the Kurds inside Syria. The Turks, they say they're going to send in troops to join Saudi Arabia. So you've got Turkey aligning with Saudi Arabia. You got the Kurds aligning with Russia. And you've got the allied powers, the United States, France, and England. They're all at the gay bar or at the bathhouse. That's where they are. And, you know, word of the war will get to them eventually through the steam and the back of the bathroom there, whatever, yeah. Let's see, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, when he heard that the Turks and the Saudis are going to join forces against them with ground troops, Medvedev responded by threatening permanent war. Oh, is this what you want? Permanent war. We can give you this. In Russia, we have this, yes. We can give you this. Let's see here. Russia is massing forces on the Turkish border, attempting to secure a base in the Syrian Kurdish region. The two countries' militaries are currently fighting on the ground mere kilometers from each other. That's Turkey and Russia. And the Daily Beast reports that if a clash occurs, NATO could be unwillingly dragged out of the bathhouse into a war. That's right. They're going to drag Barry out of the back of the bathhouse. They're going to get John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, drag them right out of the Stonewall Inn and into a war. And that's all to Putin's delight. Or, says the Daily Beast, if they don't go to war with Putin, they lose all credibility. That's great. That's just what we need. You know, we haven't been on the right side of a Muslim war. Well, I guess we have. But I remember when Bill Clinton went and started bombing the Czechoslovakians. Who was it now? They invented a country called Bosnia-Herzegovina, gave it to the Muslims, and then kicked out all the Christians and bombed the Croats and the Serbs. And since then, it's been downhill with the Muslim fanatics. Let's see. The Daily Beast does finish the article saying, but Mr. Obama did receive a Nobel Peace Prize. Congratulations, they say, Mr. President. Congratulations, they say, somewhat sarcastically. I think the author over at the Daily Beast, well, I don't know who he was, so I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I'm sure there's some decent people at the Daily Beast. I know I've always wanted to work at a news outlet named after the Antichrist. That's a lifelong dream of mine, I'm sure. Now, let's go to the war file. An update on the Christian persecution. A 48-page report has been released. It documents the extent of Christian persecution in Nigeria. Islamist extremists, as well as moderate Muslims. Moderate, I said. In Nigeria, are slaughtering Christians and destroying their homes, businesses, and churches at a record pace. This is from Breitbart, decades of religious violence directed at the Christian community has resulted in the deaths of between 9,000 and 12,000 Christians. And the report calls that a conservative estimate. 13,000 churches have either been destroyed or closed down. 1.3 million Christians in northern Nigeria have become displaced. and fled their homes. And the executioners are not just from the well-known Islamic terror group Boko Haram that you and I are familiar with, but comprise many other more moderate Muslims as well. Nigerian Muslims were encouraged by the successful Islamic revolution of the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran in 1979, which half you people listening, you don't even remember that. Which many took as evidence that radicalization can bring about social change. One of Ronald Reagan's greatest failures is that when he came to office and Iran returned the hostages, Reagan should have said, oh, that's not enough. That's not enough. We're going to bomb you people into the Stone Age if you don't relinquish power immediately. And then we should have invaded. An Islamic state should have never been allowed to be set up. So all of you Reagan worshipers, get out of here with that. Violence against Christians is connected through a common religious denominator, says this new report. Muslim identity and the position of Islam. Not just radical Islam, but also Muslim herdsmen in the north, Muslim political and religious leaders in Nigeria. So it's not just the crazy fanatical Islamist terrorists that are driving this slaughter of Christians. It's also the moderates. The report indicates that this violence derives from the historical migration of Muslims into non-Muslim territories. You know, it's as we've said on the broadcast, this is what happens when you start letting Muslims into your country. You know, Christians have all over the world, Christians have proliferated. And nowhere have we sought to overthrow the government and kill everyone who disagrees with us. But everywhere the Muslims go, if they achieve a democratic majority or a significant armed plurality, that's what they do. We Christians, we migrate all over the place. We don't burn down anybody's mosque. We don't burn down anybody's silly pagan temple. We don't slaughter people for insulting our God. But this is what Muslims do. And so I would prefer that we didn't have Muslims in America. That's all. I would prefer that we go over there and try to evangelize those people. After we kill all the ones who want to fight, which is probably a significant minority. Probably only 10 or 20% of the Muslims actually want to physically engage in combat with Christians. So we go, we wipe those out, and we try to convince the others that they're following a false pagan religion that's going to get everybody killed. And we say, look at those guys. Got all those guys killed. Come on, let's talk. Let's be reasonable. I think if we could enlighten the Muslim world, specifically the women, to the grandeur of the Christian religion, that the entire Muslim faith would crumble like a house of cards. All right. More from the war file from the French Press Association. An Egyptian court has sentenced three Coptic Christian teenagers to 5 years in jail for contempt of Islam. Contempt of Islam? I experience contempt of Christianity on a weekly basis on Facebook from one of my friends or one of my, well, they're my enemies, but they're my friends on Facebook, you see. I keep some of my enemies close, you know, close, yeah, right? You, like the old saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. I have friends on Facebook. We disagree about a lot of things. And they have utter contempt for my religious faith, but I've never called for them to be arrested or beaten or thrown in jail or anything like that. What I try to do is educate them and, if at all possible, embarrass them in their stupidity, which I'm able to do on a regular basis. At least in my own eyes. They may not see it. But it's how I get by, you know, with it. Because otherwise I'd get all upset. I wouldn't want to talk to them. I'd figure I'm banging my head against the wall. Let's see. In Egypt, the judge against the Christian teenager showed no mercy. He handed down the maximum punishment. The case arises from a video in which one teenager can be seen kneeling on the ground reciting Muslim prayers, while another stands behind him making the sign of the thumb across the neck, indicating beheading. And they're laughing. And they're basically saying, look, these guys claim to be religious. They're on their knees. They're playing to God. But they're cutting people's heads off. And these teenagers were mocking the Islamic State. But what they didn't realize is that even with the moderate Muslims mocking the Islamic State and the beheading of the infidel is mocking Islam. You're mocking Islam, and so now they're going to go to jail. But you know what bothered me about this story? Is that Matt Drudge put it right next to a story about Muslims persecuting homosexuals in Indonesia. So you've got the persecution of the Christians equated by Drudge, just by the way he put the headline up, equated with the persecution of mentally deranged sex perverts who defile and abuse one another in filthy and disgusting ways. Matt Drudge conflates them with the saints of the living God, which tells me something about Matt Drudge's psyche. I would love to sit down and have a coffee with Matt Drudge and find out what's going on in there. Single guy, never got married, whatever, built his website out of a basement. I'm not saying, I'm just making observations, that's all. You can draw your own conclusions. And now from CNN, ISIS is threatening Mark Zuckerberg and some guy I never heard of at Twitter. A 25-minute video released by the Sons of the Caliphate Army of Allah. This video threatens the two CEOs, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, Facebook and Twitter. The images of the CEOs are engulfed in flames or marked with bullet holes. They say it's in response to efforts by Facebook and Twitter to stop terrorist activity on their platforms. And listen to Mark Zuckerberg's unequivocal statement against terrorism. So here's the problem with the younger generation, right? I know I sound like my dad when I say that, but hey, whatever. My dad was right about a lot of stuff. Pulled his hair out about Ronald Reagan. Thought Ronald Reagan was too liberal. the younger generation, they cannot be unequivocal. It's impossible. That's why all the girls under 30, every sentence is a question. As pointed out by my extremely attractive audio engineer. I mean, I hate ISIS. I'm against terrorism. I don't like Islamic terrorism. We should all stand up and take a stand against Islamic terrorism. Mark Zuckerberg said during his keynote at the Mobile World Congress this past week, he reiterated his stance and Facebook's policy on helping to fight terrorism online. He said, quote, "We feel like we have a pretty big responsibility running this big policy on helping to fight terrorism online. We want to help prevent terrorism and different kinds of attacks," said Mark Zuckerberg. "We feel like we have a pretty big responsibility, Mark." Wow. "We want to help prevent, like, terrorism and, you know, like, different kinds of attacks." We'll be right back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. And let's go to the front lines of the Zika abortion crisis. And we go to the personhood file. Colombian health officials reported last week a probable case of microcephaly possibly linked to the Zika virus. They claim that the Zika virus was possibly identified in what may or may not have been the amniotic fluid surrounding a severely deformed fetus that they had aborted and thrown away. Yeah, well, they aborted the fetus and threw it away, and so we can't really check, but they say, hey, we think that there was likely, quite possibly, Zika, and there was definitely a deformity. Yeah. The abortion was performed on an 18-year-old mother when she was 28 weeks pregnant. The remains of the fetus were thrown in the garbage, preventing an accurate diagnosis from being reached. So the pro-aborts, where is this, Colombia? I don't know the status of abortion law in Colombia. My guess is, at least on paper, you're not allowed to kill a baby because it's sick. That's my guess, is you're not allowed to, well, but I don't know. But anyway, the pro-aborts are so desperate to find one more reason to kill kids that the Zika virus, they consider it a gift. And they're going to go out and they're going to work as hard as they can to find and prove that Zika causes birth defects, and somehow that justifies our thirst for the blood of innocent children. Right? I mean, you can put two and two together, right? We've got Zika, we've got birth defects. Naturally, that means we should kill kids. Right? It's obvious as the nose on your face, says the full-throated abortionists. Unbelievable. So this story is not even a story, and Reuters reports it as if it's a story. There's so many holes in this story that everything is probable, possible, maybe. Don't look over this way because we're throwing a baby in the garbage can on this side. They just want to kill kids. Now, a molecular biologist, meanwhile, is planning to breed up to 12 million male mosquitoes a week and then sterilize them with a cobalt-60 irradiator. He's going to release these sterilized male mosquitoes into targeted mosquito breeding areas, resulting in a large number of dud eggs that will cut sharply into the population of the next mosquito generation. Okay, this is from the Science, really, file. Because this guy's really a scientist, and this is really an idea, and he's really going to try hard. But guess what? That's not going to work, son. I'm sorry. I mean, the entire continent of South America is a mosquito breeding area. How are you? Yeah, I don't think so, son. But you know what? We appreciate your efforts. At least you're not calling on us to abort the next generation of children in order to fight the Zika virus. This is Dr. Kostas Bortsis, this molecular biologist. The effectiveness of radioactive sterilization for controlling mosquitoes remains to be seen. Well, it's not going to be effective, unfortunately. And, well, you know what? The thing is back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, DDT worked. DDT probably saved the lives of millions of people. But the Enviro nuts, they got DDT banned because it effectively killed mosquitoes. And they all got afraid because they thought the population would explode, and that was terrible. We'll have too many brown people in Latin America if we keep using the DDT in the jungle and we keep killing all the mosquitoes. The population will go crazy, and then there'll be a threat to everybody. And so they banned DDT. They claimed that it was so horrible and terrible. And how many millions have died now? And still, the leftist appetite for death is not sated. To this day, millions dead. I'm sure that the Zika virus will achieve sainthood in the leftist, godless, atheist church. The Zika virus will be as close as you can get to a saint if it can kill half a billion people. It'll make the leftist enviro crazies and the homosexualists and the abortionists and everyone else who's afraid of overpopulation, it'll make them happy if it could kill half a billion people. And that's a window into the dark black souls of everyone who is an enemy of the living God. And that's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Don't be confused about who I'm talking about. Meanwhile, actor Terry Crews is on a show called Brooklyn Niner Niner. Are you familiar with this broadcast? No. Nor am I, but he's a former NFL player, and he's an actor, and he's released some videos talking about how his addiction to pornography screwed up his life. He released a series of videos. The former NFL player said he had to go to rehab for his addiction, which he says his addiction to pornography consumed him and threatened his marriage. He says it changes the way you think about people. People become objects. People become body parts. They become things to be used rather than people to be loved. He and his wife have been married since 1990. They have 5 children, and she almost left him. He was so deep into this, into pornography, that she told him, "I don't know who you are anymore. I am out of here." She was leaving him. And that's when he realized he had to change. And this is 6 or 7 years ago, according to him. He says, "I had to go to rehab." He calls on women. He says, "Women, you need to confront your man about this problem. Women, you cannot accept pornography in your life. Don't accept that your man has to have pornography in his life." I think that's awesome that this guy calls on women to stand up and say what women should say, is that I'm not going to have that. I think there's an entire generation who thinks that pornography is relatively innocuous. Doesn't really hurt much of anything. But as the actor Terry Crews says, pornography is an intimacy killer. Every time I watched it, I was walled off. It was like another brick came between me and my wife. And he says, the truth is, everything you need for intimacy, you already have it. It's in your, well, he says partner. I would say, he should have said in my wife. Well, he's an actor, you know, you can't expect too much from him. He also did not call for the recriminalization of pornography, or that people who produce or distribute pornography, if convicted, should be put to death, which is what we call for here at the Weekly Worldview, specifically my extremely attractive audio engineer stands firmly by that. That is a biblical punishment for the production and distribution of pornography is the death penalty. All right. Yes, I know. Recriminalizing pornography, that's so extreme, Doug. You're some kind of crazy person. That could never happen. And maybe you're right. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm so far out of the mainstream and out there on the fringes that, yeah, you're probably right. But you know what? Is God is right out there with me. And keep in mind, people, that God wins in the end. So you think I'm crazy and that this will never happen, that pornography will never be illegal? I'm here, standing here today telling you it will be. It will be. Because the Ten Commandments, my friends, they weren't just commandments. They were prophecies. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not steal. You shall have no other God before me. It's not just a commandment. It's a prophecy. And God is powerful. And God will make it happen. And at the end of the day, God will win. And it's just a matter of whether you go on with him or do whatever else there is, which I believe is to be locked in the center of the earth on fire forever. How about that? Yep. And they're going to pipe this show into hell, by the way. I think it'll be reruns, though, because I think I will have moved on to other things. Let's see. We're running out of time. I didn't think I'd get an hour out of this news, but I have somehow I have wrung an entire 1-hour monologue out of a mere handful of stories, and I haven't even begun to talk about the Chris Christie endorsement. Don't get me started there. Abortion clinics are closing at a record pace, according to Bloomberg. At no time since before the Supreme Court rendered a decision, an opinion. I'm sorry. That parents had the right to kill their children. At no time since then has a woman's ability to terminate a pregnancy been more dependent on her zip code or financial resources to travel. Yep, clinics are shutting down. In 2013, in Texas, 30 shut down. Iowa, 14 shut down. Michigan, 13. California lost a dozen surgical abortion clinics. By the way, an abortion clinic is defined by medical researchers as a facility that performs 400 or more abortions per year. Yeah, I would say if you're doing more than one a day, that you're an abortion clinic. The number of clinics peaked in 1980 at 705. Now there are a mere 553. Let's see, state regulations, they say, drove a quarter of the closings. Industry consolidation, declining demand, doctor retirements, and crackdowns on unfit providers. People who kill babies in improper manners, they got shut down. And I would imagine you'll see a fundraising letter coming out from Troy Newman's Operation Rescue or the National Right to Life Committee. Any number of abortion regulators in the pro-life industry, you'll see a fundraising letter coming out touting these numbers saying, we're winning, we're winning. We're closing down abortion clinics. But what the pro-life industry hasn't told you people, especially if you're still sending money to any of these people, what they haven't told you is that in surrendering the right to life, which the pro-life industry did the day they decided to regulate the murder of innocent people instead of fighting against it, when they surrendered the right to life, well, they can claim they're pro-life and they can claim that they're closing clinics. But because they abandoned the right to life, the abortion pill and abortifacient medications are legal now, and they always will be. I mean, at least until the personhood of the unborn child is reestablished. So it's the pro-lifers that opened the floodgates to the abortifacient chemical pills. And so, yeah, there's less need for surgical abortions because now promiscuous people can just pop a pill afterwards. And so, yeah, clinics are closing. I do like the fact that doctor retirement, there are fewer doctors going into surgical abortion. That's good. Declining demand. I think that I hope that the younger generation is a little more tenderhearted toward babies and children. But I have a feeling it's the abortion pill brought to you by the National Right to Life Committee. Because if the personhood of the child had never been abandoned, we could have reestablished it by now. And they couldn't have made an abortion pill because it would have been illegal. But now you got abortion pills and you're going to have them. Thanks to the Christians and the pro-life industry people who allowed it all to happen. Now, finally, ladies and gentlemen, is this really from Yahoo News? Am I doing a story from Yahoo News? I guess I am. This was sent to me by a listener via instant message. And I can't remember your name, Mr. Listener, but thank you very much. I give you full credit right here. A new model of the universe suggests that there could be as many as 700 quintillion other planets out there in the universe. 700 quintillion. Does anyone know how big a number that is? No, nobody does. It's a lot. It's huge. 700 quintillion other planets are out there. The Kepler Space Telescope has found 32 other planets that, like Earth, sit in the habitable zone around their stars. And if you extrapolate those numbers to all the stars we know about, there should be between 40 billion and 49 billion other potentially habitable planets in the Milky Way galaxy alone. And the Milky Way is just one of an estimated 100 billion galaxies. With so many exoplanets, there's bound to be a few that resemble Earth, but maybe not. This new model suggests that Earth might be an incredibly unique and special place. To figure this out, a team of astronomers took the information we already know about exoplanets and the evolution of the universe and designed a model that simulated the past 13.8 billion years of our universe's existence. All of the planets that it formed inside the model, out of all the planets, Earth sticks out like a statistical sore thumb. Most of those quadrillions of planets in the model are inside galaxies much larger than the Milky Way. They orbit stars with compositions totally different from our sun. And the research, all this research has been submitted for publication in the Astrophysical Journal. So they basically ran a computer model based on the evolutionary view of the universe and all the time in the world, 13.8654 billion years. And at the end of it all, the researchers told Scientific American that their model, they said Earth might not be quite a 1 in 700 quintillion planet, but it certainly is an unusual place. And what they didn't want to say is that with the knowledge we have, what we've seen, the observable data, along with their evolutionary model of 13.86452 billion years, they couldn't make an Earth. It couldn't happen. It didn't happen. And all you heathens and atheists and God-haters, you can go out there looking for aliens and other planets all you want. You're not going to find them. Because the whole point of the universe is the Earth. And it's God's relationship to man. And whether you believe in him or not, you will have a relationship at some point with him. He will either be your friend and your advocate, and he is a fiercely loyal friend and advocate, or he will be your judge, and he is a merciless and ruthless judge in the face of the unrepentant sinner. So, well, enjoy the rest of the week on that note. And I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, my friends at AmericanRightToLife.com. Of course, my other brother, Darrell, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, and should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.